Chronicles 15, verse 11. Then David summoned Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, and Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab, the Levites. He said to them, "You are the heads of the Levitical families. You and your fellow Levites are to consecrate yourselves and bring up the Ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place I have prepared for it. It was because you, the Levites, did not bring it up the first time that the Lord our God broke out in anger against us. We did not inquire of him about how to do it in the prescribed way." So the priests and Levites consecrated themselves in order to bring up the Ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. And the Levites carried the Ark of God with the poles on their shoulders, as Moses had commanded, in accordance with the word of the Lord. David told the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brothers as singers to sing joyful songs, accompanied by musical instruments, lyres, harps, and cymbals. So the Levites appointed Heman, son of Joel, from his brothers Asaph, son of Berechiah, and from their brothers the Merarites, Ethan, son of Cushiah, and with them their brothers next in rank, Zechariah, Jaaziel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Unai, Eliab, Benaiah, Masaiah, Mattathiah, Eliphalehu, Micaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jeiel, the gatekeepers. The musicians, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, were to sound the bronze cymbals. Zechariah, Aziel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Unai, Eliab, Maaseiah, and Benaiah were to play the lyres according to Alamoth. And Mattathiah, Eliphalehu, Micaiah, Obed-Edom, Jeiel, and Azaziah were to play the harps, directing according to Sheminith. Kenaniah, the head Levite, was in charge of the singing. That was his responsibility because he was skillful at it. Let us pray. O Lord, who has redeemed us and made us your people through Christ, thank you for this gathering and its many gifts. We offer you now our gift of attentiveness to your word so that we may keep you more central in our lives, individually and together. Keep you at the center of who we are, what we're about, what we do. We need your word to help us do that. So we listen now, O Lord, through Jesus Christ. Amen. We began today's worship service the way that we begin every worship service, by singing. Our first act of praise is to lift our voices to the Lord through music. So before we start announcing or reading or praying or preaching, we start singing. The screen came down. Willis struck the first note on his keyboard, and off we went into our encounter with the Lord. We start by singing. And even though we don't have access to our hymnals right now, we still have high-tech ways of making sure that music goes on. The coronavirus may have shut down many parts of your life, altered the way that we do certain kinds of things in the life of the church, but it can't stop our singing. Our music, especially together as God's people, though even that form of worship has come under some scrutiny as churches started reopening. There was some discussion and debate about whether choirs, congregational singing, should be restricted. As far as I can tell, even though those debates were never fully resolved, the conversation seems to have died down. But it does make me think that had they faced this kind of situation in ancient Israel, the Levites may have had to try to organize a virtual choir. After all, the worship of the Lord needs to go on. Even though David may have fouled things up in the first attempt to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, that didn't mean that God's people should slack up in their responsibility to seek the Lord, especially through worship, including music, and to do that in appropriate ways. In today's text, David's second attempt at reinstalling the Ark of the Covenant back in Jerusalem is successful. Remember that the Ark is the symbol of God's presence, so having it back in the holy city of Jerusalem is a powerful testimony to the people's desire to have God be more central to their life together as a community, as His people. God is not to be neglected, they learn. And one of the ways to ensure that God is not neglected is to faithfully seek Him in worship, like we're doing here today, including through music. The Levites, we hear a lot about them in our text today. They were given responsibility in this area of music. It was just one of several kinds of services that the Levites performed in association with public worship. If you were to get a copy of the Israelites' list of officers and committees, you'd see Levites performing various kinds of roles: gatekeepers, guardians, temple officials, judges, craftsmen. And their job description also required that they be skilled in music, both vocal and instrumental. They were essentially singing musicians in the life of God's people. So in our text for today, the Levites are instructed to offer joyful songs. Now, that didn't mean that every song had to be happy and clappy. It simply meant that the music needed to be grounded in what the Lord had done for His people in order to redeem them and make them His people, to put them in the world to be a reflection of His character and His purposes. Joy sometimes is about happy and clappy music, which we need, but lots of times it's not about our own determined attempts in and of ourselves to be glad, no matter what we're up against. Joy is really about God's action more than our action. It's about God's action to deliver us through Christ, to sustain us, to enable us to worship Him with our lips and our lives to the praise of His glory. I like the way that preacher Barbara Brown Taylor puts it when she talks about how joy is different from happiness or pleasure or fun. She says, all of those depend on positive conditions, good health, good job, happy family, lots of toys. The only condition for joy is the presence of God. Joy happens when God is present and people know it, which means that it can erupt in a depressed economy, in the middle of a war, in an intensive care waiting room, or in the midst of a pandemic. Joy. COVID-19 is still spreading, but notice something, we're still singing. Joy doesn't really mean in a Christian sense that, well, we'll wait till we get a vaccine and everything takes a major turn and then we'll start rejoicing. Then we'll start to dust off our instruments and warm up our voices. It means that every Sunday, including this Sunday, we'll come together and we'll take our voices and we'll unite our voices in an act of praise to God, in a vocal offering that gives thanks to God, because it reflects this indestructible hope that we have because of Christ, no matter what happens to us or what threatens us. That's one of the things about congregational singing. It's a unifying act of praise in which each of us can participate. Many other elements of our service involve, like you've noticed, one person at a time coming up front to to lead, to read, to pray, to preach, and all of those are important because they represent everybody in the congregation listening and speaking in one sense, but there's nothing quite like the experience of each of us participating as we add your voice to all the other voices singing praise to God. Each of us participating in that way, solos, ensembles, praise teams, choirs, all of these are good and important, but there's also something uniquely God-exalting about everyone in the pews contributing his or her voice, your voice, to this vocal offering we give to the Lord. Now, granted, you may feel like your contribution, your voice added to that vocal offering, isn't as polished or skilled maybe as some other folks. I like the closing verse of today's text. Kenaniah, the head Levite, was in charge of the singing. That was his responsibility because he was skillful at it. Churches need Kenaniahs. But the worshipfulness of a song doesn't hinge on whether or not everybody in the pew is a Kenaniah. You don't have to be. Even if you're not, your voice is still needed. And that's part of what we learn through the gift of singing. There's a woman who tells about a time when she and her grandson were worshiping at their church. A lady was singing a solo, and during the course of the song, the grandson tugged on his grandmother's sleeve and said, "She doesn't sing very well, does she?" And the grandmother, knowing that this woman had a deep love for the Lord, said to him, "Well, she sings from the heart, and that's what makes it good." So the grandson nodded thoughtfully, accepting that answer. Then a few days later, when he and his grandmother were in the car singing along with the radio, he stopped and said, "Nana, you sing from your heart too, don't you?" Worship music, especially congregational singing, helps make sure that our Sunday morning gatherings are heartfelt. It's true that various forms of worship music, including our hymns, help convey the content of our faith. The words that we use in our music, they express the things we believe about God and how we ought to live. We're able to sing about our commitments, our convictions that we cling to, but we're also intended to sing with conviction. There's simply something about music that touches us, not only at the cognitive level, but at the emotional level as well, that part of who we are. Music acknowledges feelings, and it gives us a way of expressing feelings. As one person earlier this week captured it, singing gives us a way of filling this space with emotion as well, and experiencing emotion, absorbing emotion. So when Kenaniah in our text and the other Levites take up their instruments and loosen up their vocal cords and get ready to lead God's people in worship, they're doing more than just articulating and expressing theological ideas. That's part of it. But even more importantly, they're expressing joy. They weren't simply being joyful in God's presence. They were being joyful because of God's presence. That's where the joy comes from. His presence in the life of his people, his presence through what he's done for his people, through what he will do for his people. So now, just like then, whenever we come together to sing, we sing for joy in one way or another because of God's accomplishments and gifts toward us in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that all the songs that we sing necessarily are joyful. That's part of it. Worship music can enable us to give voice really to a range of emotions. Sometimes our songs help us mourn and grieve and lament. Sometimes our songs help us confess and repent. Sometimes our songs help us resist and protest. In the African American community struggle for civil rights and social justice, gospel music has always been a powerful form of encouragement, power, hope, perseverance. It's often wielded as a peaceful weapon, music, in the pursuit and the seeking of God's kingdom. Last year, there were hundreds of thousands of Christians in the city of Hong Kong who decided to protest against a bill that would have stripped a lot of protections for religious expression. And one of their primary tools in their protest was a song, Sing Hallelujah to the Lord. It was written in 1974. The song has been beloved for a long time. It's notable for its minor key, its ease of harmony, especially when sung in a round. And in this case, it became an anthem of allegiance. Allegiance not to the state, but to the Lord and to the kingdom of God. I like the way that one person put it, God's praises are often the soundtrack to redemptive suffering by God's people. Oh, the people of Israel, they knew plenty about suffering, redemption. They knew plenty about bondage and about deliverance. You can hear it in their songs, in their music. It's no accident that in today's text, along with several other passages in 1 Chronicles, if you were to explore this book further, you'd see this isn't the only spot where this subject comes up. Laying out God's instructions for how his redeemed people can worship through music. That's because these were not peripheral minor matters, the music. And those responsible for leadership in this part of the life of God's people were critical to preserving and propagating and promoting and proclaiming what God had done for his people in saving power. So when the time came for the service to start, and Kenaniah was up front there, and he had finished warming up his vocal cords and look over at the other Levites just to make sure they had their harps and cymbals in hand. Then he'd look to the back of the sanctuary, to the media person, the technician. It was time to start the hallelujah again as God's people gathered. Start singing to the Lord. Peter Bowler, he was a man who was instrumental in the conversion of John Wesley and Charles Wesley. And it's believed that Bowler once said, "If I had 1,000 tongues, I would sing praise to Christ with all of them." And according to many, this inspired Charles Wesley, who took that stray comment and turned it into lines that we still sing. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Now, there are probably 30 or more tongues here in this place today, as I acknowledge, at different levels of skill when it comes to singing and voice. But what matters on this Lord's Day and every Lord's Day is that we combine them, bring them together in a unified act of vocal praise to the Lord for what he's done through Jesus Christ and what he's made possible for us. There's a theologian named J.I. Packer who wrote, "I've experienced God's presence most powerfully in worship, often during the singing, I suppose because when we sing to him, we are looking hard in his direction." When we sing to God, we're looking hard in his direction. In today's text, the Israelites haven't been looking as hard in God's direction as they should have. That's why they're given instructions here and other passages about proper worship. including how to do their music in their gatherings, in their life as God's people. God has gotten pushed off center. So in order for them to recenter their lives individually and together on God, part of what they need to do is they need to warm up their voices and dust off their instruments and get busy with praising God in all kinds of ways, especially too through music, to sing for joy, for joy. The coronavirus, like we've noted many other times here in our service, has changed things about how we worship. Last Sunday we noted the impact that it's had on how we practice the Lord's Supper. Today we've seen how even the gift of music in worship and singing isn't left untouched by these circumstances. But still, part of what we do in a time like this, we sing our way through this pandemic. We worship our way through it as well in reliance upon God's work and faithfulness. And maybe one of the good things that will eventually come out of this whole situation is that we'll be less inclined to take for granted those small and seemingly insignificant things that are part of our life together in the church, those foundational elements that help make us the people of God, things like a handshake or a hug, a bulletin, an offering plate, these kinds of things. A fellowship meal. Doesn't that sound good? I mentioned that two Sundays in a row now, so I know I'm hungry for it like you are, in every sense of hungry. Those kinds of things. And yes, those small but deeply significant things like a hymnal, a prelude on the keyboard, a chorus that you've memorized, a song that takes you to a particular place or experience or moment in your journey with the Lord, a solo that always moves you. In some way or another, a joyful song that breaks out because the Lord is present. The Lord is present in saving power. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that you are present among your people in saving power, present among us here today, and that's the source of our joy. We're grateful for all the ways that you give us to express and articulate and live out our joy in Christ, especially for the gift of music, for the voices we have and the songs that we can sing, especially to help us navigate through a time like this. Strengthen us as we continue to bring our voices together to praise you and to continue living by faith in these days and times. Be praised, be glorified, be honored by what we offer to you now in every way, including our voices. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.